Good evening. I'm Colin. I'm an elder and the secretary at West Kirby United Reformed Church. Well, I think this has been a great series as we've been considering the promises which have transformed our lives. And this is the final talk. This sort of rounds everything off. And it's entitled Heirs According to the Promise. So let's just think, what promises have we considered already? We've considered his presence, his provision, his power, his peace, his pardon, a promise at Pentecost, a promise of paradise, and participation. It's a really staggering list, all very important. So tonight, we need to remember that God has made promises to people of faith down through the ages. And these promises still stand and are relevant for you and me today. God counted Abraham's faith as righteousness 4,000 years ago, and he still has the same attitude to us today. We remain the beneficiaries of the promise that God made to Abraham, so that despite his imperfections, that's Abraham's, and he had plenty of them, that promise still stood. His faith in the Almighty meant that he could enjoy the forgiveness of his sin and live in harmony with the Lord. We're going to look at a couple of verses from Galatians chapter 3, it's verses 26 to 29. And this time, as you can see, I have removed the picture before I started the talk. So here's the passage, verse 26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Heirs according to the promise. This feels like a verse that was written for our time. Of course, it was written for every time and it will always be relevant. But as we remember George Floyd and many others who have suffered at the hands of those who have considered them to be lesser, we realise that God has stood against such conduct down through the ages. Anyway, I'm drifting slightly off the point, although not much. This verse takes us to the core of our faith, that we're all children of God. We can get a little bit used to this statement, but it's actually rather extraordinary. We are children of the Almighty Father God, the universe maker, the quark controller. Last week, we ended the service by singing this lovely song, and I think it encapsulates much of what we need to take into our hearts and minds tonight. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm surrounded by the arms of the Father. I'm surrounded by songs of deliverance. We've been liberated from our bondage. We are the sons and daughters. Let us sing our freedom. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. It does not matter who we are, we can come before him in sure and certain knowledge that he will accept us like the best of fathers. He will delight in us. God does not consider where we're born, who our parents are, how much money we have in the bank, etc. Now, not all fathers are like that, I know. When I told my parents that my relationship with Jenny was getting serious, the first thing that my dad asked me was, "What does Jenny's father do for work?" He wanted to be sure that she came from the right sort of family, you know. No riffraff. So obviously, I didn't tell him That's my dad. I didn't tell my dad that Brian had been brought up in a council house by a single mother. No, I said that he was a science graduate from Oxford University with a research, and he was a research scientist in Aberdeen. He was Dr. Brian Bach. My dad was suitably impressed. This was obviously okay. All that stuff might have mattered to my dad, but to our Heavenly Father, this is not significant. What he's interested in is that we grasp the promises that he's offered with both hands and put our faith and trust in him through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, what exactly is an heir? Well, I guess obviously it's the person who inherits. Like, you would inherit the house, maybe, if your parents owned a house. If they had any money, you'd inherit that and anything that was in value. In fact, even things that aren't of value, you inherit them. In this world, we inherit everything that our parents leave behind. This is slightly different. God offers everything that he has to us now. The inheritance is both immediate and for the future and beyond into eternity. The Lord offers us all of this. And as we've been thinking over the last few weeks, he has promised lots of different things. He says he'll be with us. His Spirit will be with us to empower us. He'll provide for our needs. He'll give us the wonderful gifts of peace and pardon. And he calls us to be partners with him in his work of grace. And then, of course, he calls us into the eternal paradise to live in community with him and his children forever. I am an heir to this promise. You are an heir to all these promises. These are for you. An heir according to the promise. Actually, this is really a contract. A contract that he's made with us. And he's going to fulfill it according to that contract, that promise. This is a contract. Sometimes I think we take contracts more seriously than promises. We sign them. If I'm going to sell or buy a house, we have to sign the bit of paper that shows that that's what's going to happen. It's a contract that God is offering us here. And it's a very one-sided contract because everything is being offered by him. And we can be sure that this contract will never be broken. It cannot be broken, for he has ordained that it is written in love and blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ at his sacrificial death, that was part of the signature, and the love of God the Father. And then it was sealed. In business contracts, we often seal as well as sign it. In this case, I feel this is sealed by the power of the resurrection, proving that God has the power to make and keep this contract, to make and keep this promise. He is able to do it. And then, it's guaranteed by the anointing Holy Spirit of Jesus living in each one of us. So this is an extraordinary thing. God has made a contract with us, a promise, something signed, sealed, delivered. It is completely certain. This is not a promise that can be taken lightly nor broken. This is a promise that God has given to each of us, and we are heirs of that promise. We are heirs according to the promise. It is written, it is decreed, it is certain. Let us revel. Yes, revel in this verse. As we take it into our souls, into our hearts, and believe it, and let it change our lives, so that we can live to his praise and glory in the knowledge that he has signed the contract. We are heirs according to the promise. Let us revel in this verse. We are heirs according to the promise. Amen. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you that you have promised to be with us. You have sent your Holy Spirit to empower us, to enable us to do what you call us to do, and you provide for each of our needs. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the gifts of peace and forgiveness, for the pardon for sin. We thank you, Lord, for drawing us to yourself and calling us to be partners with you in this work of grace. We pray that you will help us to understand that you are calling us on to the eternal paradise, to live in community with you and with one another. Lord, may this knowledge change our lives, change our perspective, and enable us to live with the certain hope that is our inheritance. We grasp this verse and claim that we are heirs according to your promise. In Jesus' name, amen.